Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us for Capon's Men Call from the Foxhole. This is Jason Searle. I have the honor of being chairman of Capon's Men, and we're glad you all took some time this morning to join us for a very special call that we have here this morning. For all of those of you who joined us last time, those who are new, we had 27 states call in last week to hear some fantastic words of affirmation and strength from Bishop Kemi. So we're thankful for this opportunity to connect in this way during this time of social distancing, or as some of us have referred to it, Father Dan Specs, our fear, spiritual nearing, as we're all drawn closer to the Lord in this time of Holy Week here. If I can, I'd begin with a prayer. So I'd ask us just to quiet ourselves for a second as we enter into prayer here with one another before we get our program started. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good and gracious God, thank you very much for the gift of faith. Thank you very much for the gift of hope in this time of darkness. And thank you for the gift of accompaniment that we've experienced in our lives in moments of where we celebrated with one another and shared our victories, and in moments where we need others to help us carry our crosses. We appreciate the gift of accompaniment that your Savior, our Lord and Jesus Christ, gave us as an example. And may we as Capon's Men model that same example as we help carry each other's cross. We know that during this time of isolation and quarantine that we all have a collective cross to bear with one another. And that is the social isolation, but we're affirmed and we are strengthened by the knowledge that we're carrying one another's collective cross with one another in the same gift of accompaniment and brotherhood that you've given us. We thank you for our health and our family's health, and we hope and pray for further continued health, and that we are able to not only focus on what lies beyond this time of quarantine, but to be very present to you and keep our minds with you presently during this time of quarantine where we're drawn near to you. As we enter into Holy Week further, we ask you for the many graces to be bestowed upon us and our families through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So welcome once again, and this week we are very pleased and we're honored and privileged to have a special guest joining us, Herb Miller, who a lot of you know, you've seen him in our video series that we've produced at Capon's Men. And if you haven't had a chance to see Herb, you're going to get to hear from him through some stories and a conversation here with a very dear friend of mine and ours at Capon's Men, Joe Della Sega. Joe's going to just visit with Herb and have a conversation here on this call this morning. And after Joe Della Sega and Herb have a chance to discuss that, Joe Farish will wrap it up with a couple of thoughts, and then we'll try and get you on your way this morning. But we'll turn it over to Joe and to Herb. And Herb, welcome, and thank you very much on behalf of Capon's Men for being with us and sharing your thoughts here this morning. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, can you hear me, Herb?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Well, welcome. We're so excited to have you today, Herb. Thanks for being with us and for giving the words some encouragement and inspiration for the guys as we work through our current situation. But first of all, before we kind of get an interview, I just want to make sure, are you and Joyce up there in Pulaski, New York? Just want to make sure everything going all right and you're able to stay inside and stay out of harm's way.
Yes, everything's fine, and we're staying inside And people bring groceries and stuff and leave them on the deck, and we get them from there.
Oh, good, good. Glad. Well, we really need you to be careful, so that's good to hear. Just for those listening, let me take a second to give a little bit of background on Herb. Herb lives 30 minutes north of Syracuse in Pulaski, New York, with his wife Joyce and his two children there in Pulaski. He served in both World War II and in Korea, where he was eventually captured by the Chinese and placed in a prisoner of war camp from early November 1950 to the liberation of the camp in September of 1953. My family and I knew of Herb's story, but the story came alive for us in April of 2013 when we had the opportunity to go to Father Capon's Medal of Honor ceremony and to meet up with Herb and got to meet his amazing wife Joyce and the other some other POWs. So since then, been blessed to be able to stay in contact with Herb. He's a true American hero and just one of the finest gentlemen you're going to meet, one of the finest Christians you're going to meet. And so when asked to have the opportunity to do this, it's just exciting to very appreciative, Jason, to have the opportunity to visit with Herb and share his story with all of you that are listening today. So, Herb, we're going to unpack today your encounter with Father Capon and get to know a little bit about him. But before you get into your story, one thing you shared with me, could you talk a little bit about when you were 17 and signed up for World War II and what inspired or motivated you to go down and sign up before being 18 years old?
Yes, when I had a brother that was a fighter pilot in the South Pacific in World War II, and I wanted to go help him, you know, kid fashion, and my mother wouldn't let me go. So my brother took me down to the recruiting office. He told him he was my guardian, so he signed me up. My mother got really, really mad. So I went in service and went through the training and everything and went into World War II and fought through that and made it back home by the grace of God. And then the Korean War started. After World War II, I re-enlisted.
Okay.
I went back in service, and they sent me to Korea. And okay. 2 weeks after that war started, I was fighting with the Koreans. And on up until November, that's when the Chinese got with the Koreans and they overrun us, and I got hit with a hand grenade, and it broke my ankle and tore the muscle on my leg. I couldn't walk. I laid in this ditch. It was about 4 foot deep by this little dirt road, and Father Capon, he was up the road from me in a dugout with some wounded people, I found out later. And the Lord must have spoke to him. And he was a man of God listening. And he left that dugout, and he come back down the road on the opposite side of the road from me. He couldn't see me in that ditch. And when he got to where I was, he come straight across, and there was a Korean soldier that had standing over me. He was about ready to shoot me. His gun was about 2 inches from my forehead, and Father Capon come straight across that road, pushed that guy aside and picked me up and carried me. He carried me for quite a ways, And I kept telling him, you got to put me down. You can't carry me like this. He wasn't a muscular man. He was a kind of thin-like. And he said, if I put you down, they'll kill you. And from then on, he carried me, and some other guys carried me. I'd hobble along on one foot till we got to prison camp.
So, Herb, on that fateful day, little did you know when you woke up that you would be embarking on an amazing pilgrimage. One of the things we're doing with Gapin's Men this year is really the theme is pilgrimage, and it has so many things, accompaniment and fortitude and receiving. So your story is the ultimate story of pilgrimage. Can you talk into just a little bit what it was like on that 100-mile trek when he was carrying you and other people? He would ask or implore other people to carry you while he would ask other men, you know, to make sure to keep the wounded from falling or you would have been shot. So what was it like on that horrible 100-mile walk?
It was dreadful. When he would get a hold of me, he'd put his arm around my waist, and we'd hobble along on that one foot I had. And this would go on, and then he would, when we would stop, he would go to where some of the POWs was about to die, and some other guys would take a hold of me and help me along, and this went on for days like this, and they would. Every once in a while, you'd hear a rifle shot. You know there was some POW that couldn't make it, and they shot him. So it was just, you know, it was just an ongoing thing. After a while, your brain gets kind of numb. Like, so it was dreadfully cold. Oh, it was, I froze my fingers and the ends of my toes, and but we made it to prison camp. And
so when you made it to the camp and was thinking about the walk, you were with Father Capon, and then he went, they segregated the soldiers and the enlisted men, so you at that point were separated. But we hear story and story about Father Capon and the camp that he was in. That entire camp suffered a significant reduced number of deaths. And President Obama at the Medal of Honor ceremony talked about how that was directly attributable to the hope that Father Capon provided. So could you talk into a little bit about what it was like when you encountered him in the camp? Obviously, it wasn't every day, but you had mentioned how he would come in. Could you kind of share with the guys a little bit about what that was like?
Oh, yes. There was a big reservoir there where they had us in this camp, and there was a point of land that went out in the reservoir, and they fenced that across, and the people lived in them houses, and they chased the people out and put us in there. But when I say a house, it was a mud house, like little lean-to thing, and it had a straw roof. And they put us in there, and Father Capon, they separated the officers from the men. And Father Capon, when it would get dark, he would slip out of where he was, and he'd come down the area where we were, and he'd come in the door, and he'd step inside the room there, and he'd tell us, he'd lift up your soul. He'd say, keep your spirits up, men. They're going to come and get us. They'll get us out of here. And he had a little pipe, all he had was the barrel of it because it had been shot out of his mouth, and that's all he had left. And on the way down to where he would meet up, them houses had that, them Koreans grew tobacco, and they had it tied on their house. He'd grab some of it and put in that pipe. He'd pass it around in the room, and then he'd take the pipe back. But he would talk to us, build up our spirit. Before he left that room, he would pray for each one of us, and then he'd look out the door, see if it was clear, so if the guards was gone, and then he'd go down to the next room. And he kept this up day after day after day until they finally caught him. And they they fenced him in. They wouldn't let him out.
Oh. So speaking into that, were you aware, being remote, were you aware of the day he passed, or did that story circulate, or how long did it take before you got the message that Father Capon, had died at the hands of the captors?
Well, that come down probably the next day after he died, because the guys would holler back and forth till the guard chased you out. Then the guard would chase you away from the fence.
So Herb, one of the things that we talked about that this was fascinating to me, and if you could maybe share a little bit about your personal faith journey and how, before you went in and where you were in your faith, and then what transformation or major conversion you had while in the camp.
Well, to start with, I never went to church or anything, and I didn't know anything about the Lord or anything like that. And there in prison camp, there was this guy. He had a little testament wrapped up in a bandage on his leg, and he was reading it. It was one of them little Gideon testaments they give you. And I asked him if I could look at it. Well, I would look at it. The scripture didn't mean anything. Then finally I turned it into the back cover. On that back cover was a plan of salvation. It told if you asked God to forgive your sins, believe in your heart that you want to be saved, and ask for forgiveness, the Lord will save you. And that's what I did. Before that, I was, they were taking guys out and never bringing them back. And you're just waiting for your time. And you had a fear of being shot. But after that, after I converted to that, that fear was gone. It was just like a weight been took off your back. And I didn't care after that. You can come and shoot me. I know where I'm going. And I became a born-again Christian. And it's open to anybody. Like it says in the scripture, for grace are you saved, not by works. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And been my faith all the way through from then to this day.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. You know, Herb, one of the things you had mentioned is how Father Capon was able to meet every man where he was in the faith that he was, and help advance that faith and jump into a foxhole, and if somebody was Jewish, he knew enough to help them in their faith, and he was it didn't matter to anybody. Can you share a thought on that about Father Capon?
Before I was captured, there were stories that I was in the 3rd Battalion, and Father Capon was the chaplain for the 3rd Battalion for the Catholic religion. And I'd never met him, but I'd heard stories about him, what he would do when you get in a firefight. If anybody that's been in service knows what a firefight is, they know it's pretty bad. And he would go out, and while the fighting was going on, he'd drag wounded guys back. Didn't matter if it was American, if it was a Korean, if the guy was wounded. He told us later that was somebody's son. And he'd drag them back. And the thing that gets me, it believed that he was working through God, was he had 2 Jeeps shot out from under him. One of his drivers got captured and the other got killed. He never got hit. Then he'd go out in that battlefield and everything. He never got hit. The closest they got was they shot his pipe out of his mouth. That's all. And that's why I say that Father Capon, God worked with Father Capon in ways that it's hard to understand how God used him to save me so I could tell somebody else about him and the miracle that God did through him. And I'll do it till I can't do it anymore.
Oh, that's amazing. So with a few minutes we have left, Herb, let me pivot a little bit. Many of the men on this call, and you know, we're all scrambling to keep our families and our businesses and our communities together, if you will. And things seem at times kind of rough, kind of bleak. And I think we're sitting here so humbled at what your world must have looked like those days in the camp. But for someone like you that's been in the most dire of situations and felt the most hopeless and yet survived, and we appreciate that you had been around Father Capon enough to know what he would say in today's world, but would you maybe just share some words of encouragement or to those out there that are just kind of wondering if God's faith is in hand is in this and some just some thoughts you might have on how we keep moving forward.
Yes. Well, what I'll say to the guys is this. God is in control. God knows what's going on, and he knows your situation and all the people, and it's just, you just have to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and wait on him. It might take time for him. We work in his time, not in our time. If it was our time, we'd had it done yesterday. But with his time, he might do it this week. He might do it 6 months from now. No telling how long. But God's in control. He will do something about it. And what I think, this is personal now, I just my belief that when all them babies that died for abortion, God is not going to stand idly by and let that happen without, there's got to be restitution to it. And I think that's why the United States is paying right now. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Herb. The last question I want to ask real quick I had the opportunity at the Medal of Honor to take a picture of you and Joyce sitting in the first row, and President Obama's in the foreground, and you two are in the background sitting with all the POWs that attended, and you were emotional, you're crying. I'm just curious, what was going through your head during that ceremony, and what brought the tears to your eyes?
Well, it's sad, and it hurts you real bad to know that he didn't make it back. But God had a plan for him. He was going to take him home out of all that misery. And Father Capon knew that he was going to do it. And every time I think of it, it hurts, you know. But I think of the good things he did and how he saved me.
Yes. Well, Herb, thank you so much for this morning and for your words. And you you've touched our family in an amazing way, and your kindness and your gentleness and yet your toughness. We're so appreciative of you, and all of us have you and Joyce in our prayers, and you're in our gratitude. And I know Father Capon has to be looking down and just smiling at the life you've lived and how you're still inspiring us today. So thank you again so much for joining us. We are so appreciative.
Thank you, and tell the guys just to wait on God. He'll deliver us.
We hear you loud and clear. So from the foxhole, I will kick it back over to Joe Ferris at this point. And Joe, if you could bring us home, that would be awesome.
Thanks so much, Joe Delsing. I think Herb brought us home today. I'm so honored, and I think it's going to take a few days to even dig into some of what we just heard, firsthand testimony of what God was doing, even in a tough situation, a pretty brutal situation. There are a couple things that Herb said that I think, though, for me walking into this Holy Week, this holiest week of the year for us, he spoke of Father Capon as someone who listened to God, but he didn't just listen, he acted. And yesterday I was going back to the Benedictine Rule for some reason, and the first word of the Benedictine Rule is to listen. And I think this Holy Week, probably of all Holy Weeks that we've been in for our lives, a friend of mine yesterday, or 2 days ago, was saying, you should always come out the other end of Holy Week different. You know, what is the resurrection? At the end of this week, am I going to look the same or different? Because they're going to write about this time period 50 years from now, 100 years from now, they're going to write about what we've gone through as men, what we've gone through in this containment, this quarantine, and our families. And I just keep thinking, I want to come out different. You know, Father Capon, Herb even said, couldn't physically carry him. And I know there's been times for everybody on this call where we felt like, I can't do this. I can't pull this off. I don't have it in me. Joe, I'm exhausted, or I'm stressed out, or the world is too chaotic. And this morning I leaned back on a quote from Francis de Sales, who's one of my heroes. And Francis de Sales said, do not lose your inner peace for anything whatsoever. Not even if the whole world seems upset. If you find you have wandered away from the shelter of God, lead your heart back to Him quietly and simply. You know, Holy Thursday begins this process that yet again, all over the world, people are quarantined. And we enter these great 3 days. And what I'd probably say to us is take Holy Thursday and the meal that you're having with your family. And our family, we've had a lot of meals together. And use that as an opportunity to really dig in deep. You know, the rector of a monastery I stay in, the rector on Holy Thursday always stands up before his men and he says, I apologize this year for anything I've done that's led anyone away from God. I beg your forgiveness and I ask you, to walk with me deeper into the story we start on Friday. Like imagine at dinner tables all over the United States, if we stand up and we say, look, we didn't have it all together all the time, but but as a family, we're going to yet again go into this Good Friday together. And I think those lessons that Herb's given to us, God is in control. We wait on God. You know, even Father Capon, on these in these battlefields, like it was somebody's son. The accompaniment piece, we all want to accompany, you know, sometimes our idea, but in this case, it's your bride or your children or your neighbor. You know, imagine the person dropping off groceries on Herb's back porch, maybe having no idea who Herb is and what he's done and what he's meant to this beautiful Capon's Men movement. So I guess those are the thoughts that jump out at me. Those are the things that really push me through as I prepare my heart and my family prepares our hearts for the great celebration in front of us. He is alive. But we know we have to get through Good Friday to get to Holy Saturday. So be assured of my prayers. Know that I'm praying for everybody, and I can't just stop thinking of the fact that Herb, I don't think I'd ever heard him talk about the fact that Father Capon's faith was so contagious to those men that they eventually had to fence him in to contain him. You know, we're all under this quarantine, this containment right now, and potentially we feel a little bit fenced in, but it doesn't put out the light that each of us have. And at this moment, we're called to bring that light into our families. The doors are going to open up. We're going to return to the world. And the peace that we have in this, we're going to return to this world as it tries to put things back together. So may we never lose that peace. May we never lose that hope. And may we as men, through the intercession of Father Capon, and with holy guides in our lives like Herb and all these men that we're around, may God use this Holy Week to draw us closer to him, to his sacred heart, and to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And may we become more holy as a result of this and lead all those around us closer. So, Scott, I'm going to hand it back off to you. And as you kind of let us know what's coming, and thank everyone again for the time we've been on this call.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Thank you, Herb and Joe. It's fantastic to hear from you this morning. What a true blessing it is to have you, to be able to talk to you and hear from you. And I know that it is, yeah, encouragement for me and for all of us as we continue down this road that we're on. Next week, we have the one and only Father John Lanswick joining us, who has been on several of our Capon's Men videos and has been a big influence on many of us here in the diocese and even around the United States and world. And so we'll be excited to hear from him, and I think he will be happy to share his Easter thoughts with us. As we close out in prayer, I would like to ask that you keep in your prayers Rosemary Neuwirth and her family. Rosemary has, I think I mentioned last week, but has been a big proponent of Father Capon's cause for canonization. She's from the Pilsen area where Father Capon is, and really helped share his story, continue his legacy there and throughout the world. And we wouldn't be where we are today without her. I actually just received a text a few minutes ago. She had a stroke last week and had battled cancer several times and fought back, but she did succumb this past evening to the stroke, and so we just pray that she is already, you know, with our Lord in heaven, and pray for her family, if you would. So we'll say our three Hail Marys, and then we'll be on our way. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Father Capon, pray for us. Hope you guys have a great and blessed Holy Week and happy Easter. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for joining us in the foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.